But today is VE Day. The war is
the
over.
The newly crowned queen waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has landed.
Tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Bailey Gifford. Capital at risk.
Welcome to The Wealth Show. I'm Sophie Downes, and I'm joined today by Christopher Dean, Managing Director of Wealth, Premier and Personal Banking at HSBC. With several new initiatives underway at the bank, we'll look at how HSBC is positioning itself in the UK wealth market and the key opportunities for 2026. So Christopher, thank you for joining us.
It's great to be here. Thanks for the invite.
So we're seeing a lot of the big banks trying to grow their footprint in the UK wealth market at the moment. Why now? What's the opportunity from your perspective?
So the wealth opportunity in the UK is significant. We have 16 million of what you would entitle mass affluent customers in the UK, of which we have a million. It's growing, as you can imagine. But also outside of that, there's circa 85, 90% of the UK population don't have access to financial advice. So whichever way you look at it, there's a real significant opportunity to help more and more people understand the investment market, understand kind of the importance of protection, pension planning. Like a lot of people go about their day-to-day lives, but sometimes they forget that when they turn the age where actually it's time to collect a pension, they need to make sure they've got the right income that they want to have the ambition they want at that point in time. So it's really important. And I think there's a real significant opportunity in the UK right now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see how this compares to other markets. Obviously, HSBC is a global bank with a huge wealth footprint in Asia. In particular, what lessons are you taking from other markets and applying in the UK?
So when I was out in Hong Kong earlier in the year, it was really great to see the wealth centres. They're very well established out in Asia, and you can see that the way in which clients use them. So whether it be they're going there to meet their RM over a coffee, so whether it's an event with the chief investment officer, they really have a great place and role. So I lifted that same concept into the UK. So we've got one in London, in St. James's, and one in Leeds. And already the feedback's been absolutely fantastic. So as an international business, you're always going to kind of leverage great things across the globe. We do that with our global investment officer, and we make sure that all of the insights throughout the world are shared with our clients. But that was a specific concept that we'd seen trialed, then established and really been successful. And we brought that into the UK. And I have to say, it's been a real success so far. Mm. Clients are really enjoying it. And the fact that there's international connectivity between people flying into Heathrow, being able to zip across and see their RM or wealth manager in St. James's and then get on about their business has been really, really strong.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think this kind of wealth center idea is a bit of a foreign concept to a lot of UK mass affluent customers. Can we unpack what does that look like? How does it differ from your conventional office?
So you would have we have a branch network. We have 327 branches across the UK. And what we were trying to test and trial there is actually a differentiation for when we're having a wealth conversation and changing the environment. What does that do? Having a different environment when we're doing events such as we held a budget, obviously, event quite recently, and getting them into this environment where you can look out and see like different places across London and Leeds. You can connect up with different like travel corridors, or still Leeds Airport not too far away, in London Heathrow not too far away, but also being able to meet like-minded people at events. But where the differentiation is we've got our branches and we have lots of customers that will frequent the branches. We're trying to add premier spaces into those branches, again listening to the feedback from customers that they want a quiet space, something a little bit different and unique when they're having a conversation around their premier needs. But then the extrapolation really is these wealth centers where deep expertise exists and they know where they are and they can connect with their wealth manager at any point has been real, real success for us.
Yeah, and of course, that's only one of the multiple initiatives HSBC has done this year.
Correct.
How, you know, which has been the most successful, do you think, is the Wealth Centres? Because you've obviously had a lot going on.
There's been lots. We lowered the discretionary mandate to 100,000, and that was to allow more accessibility into the wealth space for more clients. We also introduced a fee reduction down to 1%. And we've also got another incentive of £1,000 cash back, again, just to encourage more people to talk to us, to like open HSBC up and all the wealth capability that it has to those customers and prospective customers. But also we launched the premier proposition across like wealth, health, international travel, which has been a huge success. We've got the partnership with London Business School in terms of Wealth Academy. There's been so many different things that have happened already this year, which is why we're having such a great year.
Let's talk about the Wealth Academy, because I know you had an academy pathway already, but you've recently opened the Wealth Academy in September. So talk me through this proposition and what your core ambition is with this in particular.
So we were very purposeful with selecting London Business School as a partner because they had a shared ambition in the same way we did, to have the most highly skilled expertise out there in terms of wealth management. And we talked around how we would deliver that in a modularized way, but not just theoretical, practical, creating the environment like the with a client and the client interaction, which has been really important for those that are on that journey because some are starting out. I mean, we opened it up across, like, there's people who haven't been involved in wealth management before, who get a chance to step onto this academy and completely have a career change and come forward. So having the right structuring with the right partner has been like something that's been like the cornerstone of the ambition, really. So we took our time to select the partner. And I think already it's still early stage, but we're seeing some great feedback from the colleagues who've been on it. And I mean, they're prolific across the world. Like everyone knows London Business School. So who better to work with and partner up with to leverage their expertise, but also bring the flavor and the feedback from the colleagues of areas that they really want to focus on. Like our ambition is to have the most trusted, like highly skilled expertise out there in terms of wealth managers. And it's just a great step to doing so.
Out of curiosity, do you find that this cohort, is it made up of people at the start of their careers, or is it people doing that career change, you know?
It's a mix. And I think one of the things that's been really interesting as well, Sophie, is if you look like out there, it's well known there's a kind of shortage of people moving into wealth management. And if you look out there, it's kind of 2 in 10 are women who are in those roles in terms of wealth management. We're at 4 in 10. So we're double the industry average. And things like the Wealth Academy serve as a great initiative to be able to attract more people from different backgrounds to actually say, do you know what? I haven't thought about that, but now I can see that academy and I can see a real structured learning journey. It opens it up to me because I now know that I'm going to get real support. It's not just classroom based. It's really practical as well. I know I'm going to get support in the business. And that wrapper has been important to make sure that like people will make career changes, they'll swap roles, they'll come in. So it's been a mix. And I think that's always when you get diversity that goes across different roles, like different people, then you get a real enriched offering for the customer as well.
So all of these initiatives have obviously come under your ambition, which you've been very vocal about, to be a top five wealth manager. How is that progressing?
So we have had a significant year this year, like a really strong year. Obviously, I can't go into the financial elements of it, but needless to say, all of those things that I've talked around have come together and meant that the wealth management business has had a strong year for us. But there's lots in there, as we talked about, the different initiatives we've landed. But also, I think the fact that like 200 people were recruited into the business and they're out connecting with customers and clients each and every day, like bringing to life wealth, and the fact that we actually launched a HSBC Wealth brand in the UK, because we have like over 10 million customers in the UK. Not all of them know that we offer wealth management services. So it sounds like a very simple thing, but putting out there a HSBC Wealth brand, like again, has been a catalyst for seeing more increased like customers reaching out to go, oh, I didn't realize. So love to have a conversation about this, or like children I need to save for their education, or I'm thinking about doing this. So it's real intergenerational planning. Mm. But now people can look to the bank who they may have just had a current account with, or current account savings, a card, and now it's opened the door. Oh, you also do wealth management. So can I have a conversation? And so again, that's been important.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really interesting point, because obviously a lot of clients will go to their traditional wealth manager and advisor. What advantages do you think HSB offers over traditional wealth services?
I think it's got such a huge international brand. Mm. And in many instances, Sophie, like they've already built a relationship with us, because like many of them bank with us already. So they may have chosen us for a mortgage. They may have chosen us for a loan. They may have chosen us just for the current account. But they've already built that relationship. And as I mentioned earlier, like we've got 327 branches. We're on the high street. Like people know us. And therefore that HSBC Wealth brand was so important, because they know us, but they don't always know what we offer mm-hmm. in the full extent of wealth management. Now they do. Mm-hmm. And we've been quite clear, even with our marketing, going above the line to let people know just the extent of our wealth management capability. So we always set out to be a holistic wealth manager. So whether it be pensions, inheritance tax planning, investments, doesn't matter whether it be early stage, you're just getting off with your first regular investment premium monthly, trialing it out, or you've had a life event and you need to sit and speak to someone and like do some proper financial planning. Mm-hmm. We're there for all those occasions. And I think by having a trusted relationship already, we're already kind of a long way there on the journey. And our hope is that we become kind of the place where you can, where everything comes together. So it doesn't matter whether you want a premium mortgage with us, or you want to speak to us about like IHT planning, or you want to speak to us about like, I don't know, whole horse things like your pension in the future, as we talked about earlier. It's great to just have a brand where you know you can go to for all of those things.
One-stop shop.
Yeah.
It's a saturated market. Do you think there's enough room for everyone to happily coexist?
So it depends what you would term as a saturated market, right? There's still, as to the earlier point, Sophie, like 85-90% of the UK population still haven't accessed financial advice. So that's a huge opportunity. And it doesn't matter which stage you're at, whether early stage, just getting involved in looking into investing, or whether you're kind of now wanting to like do a transfer on your pension, or whether actually you've had an inheritance yourself and you want to speak to someone. Mm-hmm. Like that's a huge market in itself. And then you've got this mass affluent opportunity that I talked about previously, which is 16 million customers. Mm-hmm. So there's a big, yes, there's more wealth managers coming in, but actually that's a, as far as I'm concerned, that's welcome, because what it does is it lifts the standards. And one of the biggest things we're about at HSBC is the quality of service, quality of experience, the quality of advice. So it helps to elevate and create higher standards in the industry. So it's something that we'd welcome mm-hmm. and we do welcome.
And thinking about that retail side, because we've spoken a lot about mass affluent, a lot of firms believe that targeting this, you know, growing cohort of people who need advice, that AI will be of some assistance here. I mean, how are you using AI currently, and what are your plans to scale in this area?
So there's two components to that. So within the like digital journey, mm-hmm. obviously AI, be it to create hyper-personalized experiences, be more intuitive. So if someone's got savings balances, just nudging them around the fact that there is an opportunity to invest some of that money, what that could look like in terms of AI modeling of where that could potentially get you to. Mm-hmm. But also, Sophie, as well, you've got this advice journey, which it won't be lost on you, like can take hours sometimes. And if you look at gathering all of the data from the client, doing a fact find, then recommendation, suitability letter, all of those things take a long time. And what we really want to make sure is the time is spent in the best way for the customer or client. So building a really great relationship with them. And that the administration element, we use AI to help support and make sure that we create capacity so they can have more time with the client, they can see more clients, they can spend more time with their clients. And a lot of that data extraction, but also some of the report generation, we can use AI to support that better.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I mean, it's on everyone's lips at the moment, but targeted support should also help in this area. What has HSBC planned in this area?
So in terms of targeted support, we'll await the publication coming out, but we've been working closely with the FCA in terms of that support. And one of the things from my perspective and HSBC's perspective is anything that supports greater accessibility into wealth is a good thing, right? So as I say, we've been working well with the FCA to this point and we'll await the publication.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as a final question, looking ahead to 2026, what trends do you think will define this wealth space?
So I think, and this is often not known or talked about quite a lot, is if you look at, say, the 25 to 34-year-old bracket, a lot of them, well, 44% of them, in fact, want to see someone face-to-face. So whilst there's an incredible amount of investment into digital, and for us, personally, we'll continue that journey because we're a hybrid wealth manager, whichever stage you're at, you should be able to support digitally. But you've got this cohort who people expect are digital for everything. And actually 44% of them would like to sit down, see someone, speak to someone, and know that they can also go back to that person if they have additional questions. And again, another data point which always makes people kind of stand back and reflect is that of that same age category or segment, 65% have visited a branch in the last 6 months. So again, it further emphasizes the fact that there's a kind of generation of people who've grown up and are now kind of thinking, right, I want to look at how I make sure I have the best possible retirement. I want to make sure I get the home I want, ambition. But they want to speak to people. Like, they'll do a lot digitally, but they do want that ability to be able to connect with someone personally. And I think for us, that trend is where you're going to see hybrid connectivity between like our digital capability and being able to speak to someone, no matter where that is. And like, if you sit and think of the way we're spread across the UK, it isn't just in London. Like, you could be in Manchester, Liverpool, Leeds, and you think, do you know what? I really just want to connect with someone because I might have had an inheritance myself, or I want to save for that home, or I want to think about how I like make sure I get off to the best possible start in terms of pension planning. You can go and see someone. Mm-hmm. And that same person will probably be the same person you see again mm-hmm. and again. And I think that is a trend for us. I think also AI, as I mentioned earlier, like everyone will have that within their roadmap, I'm pretty sure. It's just at which level they'll have it in terms of that investment journey. So I think that will be a trend that will continue into next year. And I think, look, people will naturally as well double down on their digital capability. As I said, it's really important to have people face-to-face. We know that the research and the data tells you that. But I think for the things that are simple and easy, you might want to do a top-up, you might want to top up your ice, like just being able to do that digitally, seamlessly, straightforward, or a nudge or an insight connected to your data, where someone says, oh, and it makes you stand up and think, do you know what? Actually, that's a really good point. I'm going to have a look into that. And whether that be you want to connect through a virtual assistant and you want to have a conversation and then that pulls through into an actual wealth manager, it can be a whole host of different ways. But I think those are trends that I think particularly for us, we've looked into and are making sure as we build forward that they're fully ingrained within the model that we're going to operate.
Mm-hmm. So in an age of increasing tech, and as many UK banks over the past few years have been closing branches, that face-to-face, you're saying, is as important as ever?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've made a branch commitment again out into the end of 2026, start of 27, where again, we've said, look, there'll be no more branch closures. And again, if you like the data points are there, it's sometimes people think, oh, it's only a certain segment that would like that frequent branches. Actually, I think we're being told very clearly that there's also different segments that also like that face-to-face support. It doesn't just have to be through a branch, and that's a clear point. But we think that with the premier refurbishments we've made, with the experiences we're creating with the referrals we've seen, which have been significant out of the branch network this year, like into the wealth management business, we think there's a really good role for them to play. But also getting people into the community and connecting more further to unlock and help support with wealth management and planning, like, is really important to us.
Mm-hmm. So what else can clients expect in 2026?
I think they can expect further enhancements to the proposition. I think they can expect more from us in terms of that enriched, like, insight and personalization that I talked about. So not just that you have to look for it or, oh, do I need to do this, do I not? Like, being much more proactive using data with AI tools. I think also we launched funds on mobile this year in the app. You'll see another big release next year, which I'll leave that in suspense. But again, it's a really core part of our business in terms of wealth management. And I think you'll also see continued investment in making sure that we have the best out there in terms of expertise and knowledge of our people. So given the fact of how much weight I've put on the importance of making sure that there's people there to be able to serve customers and clients, because these are, in many instances, these are big life events. Like, where do I invest this money? Or actually, I want to protect what's important to me, or I want to set myself up the best way possible. These are big events in people's lives. And so making sure you've got the most trusted expertise out there is, again, something you'll see. So we'll take that and it'll be a plus plus. Mm-hmm. So, and as I always say, that hybrid of making sure there's a runway to be able to start your investment journey, there's also ability to connect with someone when things get, like, you might have a little bit more money you want to invest or you want to talk about. I think that that intersect between the two is really important to us.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of things to be looking out for then.
Yeah, lots. And some things that you'll see early in the year as well. That'll start to land in. But yeah, really excited. I think it's been a great year for us. And I think there's a real ambition, a continued ambition for the future as well.
Great. Well, I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Sophie.
And we will see you next week.
Today is VE Day. The boys,
the newly crowned queen, waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has landed.
Tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth: cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Capital at risk.